What up, what up? Welcome to Mind Your Hive's Beekeeping. This is a B-side episode. I am here with my lovely wife, Cara Jo.
Hello, hello.
I'm your host, Greg Lehman. So what do we do on B-sides?
Talking chickens.
Yeah, we're talking chickens. So B-sides are just, you know, beekeeping adjacent topics. So many beekeepers, I would say the majority of beekeepers.
Own chickens.
Also own chickens.
And when they don't, I'm like, why don't you have chickens? Yeah. What are you doing?
In the beginner's class for Monco Bees this year, I was talking to some guy and he was like, yeah, I started with chickens. And then all these people that have chickens also have bees. So I just felt like I needed to get bees. I'm like, it's really the other way around. Like, anybody that has bees should have chickens. But not everybody with chickens should have bees.
Yeah, because chickens are insanely easier than bees.
But we're going to talk this whole time about things, how it's so not easy. Like, I think when we went into getting chickens, I was like, this is going to be easy. I did a ton of research and was like, maybe not that easy, but it's way harder than I thought. My expectations were not anywhere near how difficult I think it really is to be successful with chickens.
Or I think the way that we keep chickens, we want to keep our chickens alive. And I think a lot of people don't really care about that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pets for us. I mean, they're not like in our house. We're not those weirdos. No offense to you weirdos out there, but what's up with the chickens out in your couch pictures? It's weird.
I think so too.
It's too much. And trust me, I worry about Kara a little bit with wanting to do it, and she luckily assures me she thinks you're crazy.
Well, it was funny because when we first got baby chicks, I was like in love. Like, I was so just like in love with them, and I was like, I'm starting to understand how people can get so weird about chickens. It makes me feel weird. I promise I won't live with them in my house, but like, I love these things so much.
So what is our origin story on chickens? So we were living in a row home in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. And then I was like, hey, we knew we were moving and we were getting a couple acres. And I immediately was like, dude, we're getting chickens. Right?
Yeah. And I was like, okay.
So then, actually, wait, hold on. Beers.
Beers, cheers.
So speaking of origin, this is a brewery up in Rhode Island called the Origin Beer Project. So Origin Beer Project, it's been around for a few years. Their owners, husband and wife, Shane and Erica, came to the pub at Forest and Main. And I got to like hang out with them for a little bit. They seem really rad. I mean, in the brewery world, you kind of hear somebody talking about certain types of beer and you're like, those are my people. Or you're like, those people like a different thing. These were my people.
Yeah, this beer is real interesting. What's in it?
Yeah, so this is, I think it's called Preservation. I think it's called Preservation. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So this is a barrel fermented saison brewed with a blend of Pilsner malt, rye malt, totally normal. And then this is where it gets rad. Malted sunflower seeds and roasted sunchokes.
Whoa.
And then it's bottle conditioned with wildflower honey from Moon Rose Farm in Rhode Island and a little bit of rosemary simple syrup. Also, shout out to Moon Rose Farm. Just knowing these folks, I bet you're pretty rad. But I appreciate you calling it wildflower honey. Way too many people on the East Coast try to say their honey is specific origin or specific whatever you call that. And it's not.
So simple syrup and beer, huh?
In the bottle conditioning. You want to like give the...
Like a little sugar.
Give it that little bit of sugar. It reactivates the yeast and it carbonates the bottle really nicely. So it's cool. They're flavoring in that too. It's like every layer of
Yeah, this is like real light too.
It's only 4%. It's like so all those ingredients end up being this really subtle, beautiful table beer.
It's
so good. I love it.
It's interesting.
So yeah, shout out to Erica and Shane. This beer's great.
And
Thank you.
Origin Brewery?
Origin Beer Project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Rhode Island. All right, so...
So we built you designed a coop that could move around the yard, and I helped you build it.
Yeah, so we wanted the whole setup to be the chickens can get pasture, they can graze directly on our land, so they're getting a lot of their food that way, but we can move it around, so they're, you know, eating the bugs and the weeds and scratching and pecking and aerating the soil. And then in a couple days, you move it to, you know, just a nut, like a one length over, and then they have fresh ground to do it on. So we did that. We just built it from stuff we literally found on the side of the road over the course of like a week.
Yeah, like doors, screen doors.
Yeah. Windows. I was inspired by the, like, I was like, oh, these two doors, this window, this fits. This is a good size. And then like scrap 2x4s.
It was really beautiful.
And that worked for like legit like 2 years. It started falling apart. Then,
you know what, though? I think, like, they didn't have, like, an enclosed coop. Now I, like, worry about the chickens and their warmth, but those chickens were just doing it.
Totally doing it.
So funny.
I feel like we put a heater up top one time. We ran an electric. It just had, like, a bulb heater up top when it was crazy cold. Okay. Because we were worried about them.
I don't remember that, but...
But still, like, dude, chickens, I mean, they're not really a wild animal. Like, the chickens we have, they're not... I don't know how much they're like their origin animal.
Tyrannosaurus Rex, you mean?
They're very much like Tyrannosaurus Rexes, just really small. But they would like overwinter. They would be up in trees in snow in mountains. Like they can handle cold.
Yeah. Well,
kind of nuts.
Well, also speaking of like heaters, I was just learning. Okay, so chickens run like 100 to 105 degrees.
And oh, wow.
But they acclimate to their surrounding, the temperature of their surrounding, like slowly. So if you're heating their coop, especially with like a light, like one of those like bulb lights.
Mm-hmm. Cause those things get pretty hot.
Yeah.
If you're like right next to it.
Yeah. Because we
hot.
Use them for chicks. So like they can get really hot. If the electricity goes out or they lose that source of heat, there's a good chance that they could die or whatever, like get frostbite because they can't acclimate their body temperature.
That's interesting.
That quickly.
Yeah, because we in our coop setup now, we don't. It wasn't working the beginning of the season, so I didn't even replace it. But we had like this little panel,
like flat screen TV.
It looked like a flat screen TV that was like 8 inches wide, that provided a little bit of warmth, but not anything like light bulb type warmth.
Right. So if that went out, they would be okay.
Yeah. And that was really just like they would butt up near it. And, you know, sometimes.
And they can't catch on fire if they touch it.
Yeah, you can lean against it. It's no big deal at all. But it was like an added little like, oh, that's nice. Just in case they need a little something, it was there.
It was probably more for us than it was for them.
Which is why I didn't replace it.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. So I'm like, hey, we're moving. Let's get chickens. Kara's like, nah, dog.
I don't want chickens. They're annoying. I never said no. I was just like begrudgingly like
I don't really, this is your thing.
Yeah. I was like I remember the day you brought them home. I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Fast forward.
I'm in love with them. It was a great idea.
Yeah, 10 years and Kara's sending me chicken videos every 20 minutes on Instagram. So, all right, I just Google like where to get chickens and I go to Lancaster.
Which is a terrible idea.
I don't know. I read all these books. It didn't tell you the real things you need to know.
There's no really good chicken books out there, which is why we're doing this. I feel like you'll learn more in this conversation than you will in books.
And I feel like I say this all the time. The amount of information that's now available versus even just 10 years ago is night and day.
Yeah.
In everything. I mean, beekeeping, don't get us started. It's crazy night and day, like year to year. I feel like you learn so much, but I'm like, yeah, chicken farm. And I find a place, they sell pullets. So pullets like a 3 week plus until they really are laying eggs. Kind of right.
Yeah. It's even like
but
in the beginning of their egg
baby
laying.
Chick. But cool. I'm going to get it. They seem like they have some cool breeds. I get there. It's like weird religious Amish land and, not like Amish, like no electricity Amish, just like, I don't know what it was.
You said it was real sketchy when you came back. I still remember you talking about it.
Yeah, it was weird. And I'm like, yeah, I'll pick that bird and whatever. I come home with like 5-6 chickens. They had mites.
One died 2 days later. Like it was not, we're like, oh, this one's so beautiful. And then it was like dead 2 days.
Yeah.
And we look back at pictures. We're like, oh yeah, that chicken was dying.
It did not look good.
Yeah.
Probably mites.
We did not know. We probably could have saved. I probably could have saved its life.
You probably could have
but...
now that what you know, it's nuts. Whatever. So we only went there once, I think.
Yeah. Just once. Cause then we lost a bunch and chickens can't be that by themselves. So then you went and got replacement chickens.
So I did even better. I went on Craigslist and I found chickens. Oh, God. I'm such an idiot. And Those chickens were so diseased and ugh.
Also died pretty quickly, got more mites.
Yeah, one of them survived because wasn't Peg?
And
Rosie was the OG, but I think Peg came from the streets. She was that like Craigslist chicken.
Yeah.
She was about, she had that jacked up beak. Somebody clipped her beak bad.
She was awesome.
She was awesome. She's hood.
Yeah.
Okay, so people out there, don't go to Craigslist finding chickens. There's a reason Craigslist really tries to not let people sell animals on it.
I mean, even our friend that's a farmer bought chickens from Craigslist like 2 years ago and they were all sick. Like, people are still doing it. Like, it's just gross. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. And then he had to call his entire flock because of it.
Yeah.
So,
which when he said he bought the, I was like, really? Like, wait, he's way smarter than us.
Clearly he's not.
I guess we all make the same dumb mistakes. So then we found Moyer's chicks, really large, I don't want to say corporation, but probably it was a big corporation, but really large company. They provide, I think, the most amount of chicks. They have all the big contracts like Tractor Supply, and they're shipping to the big farms. And they're honestly, the chickens are great, but you know, they're all the same breed. They're all like that same red star run, straight run, Rhode Island red, whatever you call it. But we had decent luck, but we were buying these pullets that were like total spazoids.
Yeah, because they weren't loved and nurtured in our living room as babies.
So now we go, and we've gone to the spot two or three times now in a row. We go to a spot about an hour from us in New Jersey called Red Valley Ranch. And now we're also like getting like four or five chickens at a time, chicks at a time. We'll pay a little bit more for them. We're not, you know, we're not like, we don't have 300 chickens. We have a dozen, or we have 11 right now.
I want like 30, but that'll have to be at another house.
But they're great, and we get day-old chicks, and literally we have like this little brooder that we raise them in for the first, I don't know, month or so.
Yeah, like month. It depends on the weather outside.
Yeah. But the difference between getting a day or two or three-day-old chick and getting like a three-week-old pullet, the relationship, it's night and day.
Oh, completely.
These chickens jump on our lap sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, we used to have to catch these chicks
with nets.
With trout netting.
Yeah.
Like, a very soft, but a fishing net.
They were fine.
I don't even know where that fishing net is anymore because we don't use it.
Yeah.
Because the chicks, especially when they're even younger, come right up to us.
So sweet.
I think some of them call, like, literally respond to their name calling by you.
I try to get them to do it.
It's crazy. I'm like, am I seeing this right? I carry.
I'm like, that just happened, right? She just came when I called her name, right?
Yeah, you're a chicken whisperer.
Also, it's nice because we get the sexed chickens because we don't want to get roosters. Because roosters just aren't, I mean, they're not laying eggs. Also, we've had like, you can only have a certain amount of roosters per amount of hens you have per space.
At our first spot, at our last farm where we got chickens originally, we in our first batch of chickens, we had this one Polish top hat. So like pretty small chicken, but like ornate feathers with like the top head feathers that went over their face and covered his eyes.
So he was a super stress because he couldn't see anything.
It turns out it was a rooster. By the way, in the animal kingdom, the very pretty animals, they're all dudes. The more boring looking of the animals, they're females. The dudes are the ones that have to look all pretty and dance for their ladies. I think humans are the only thing that the ladies are a lot prettier than the men.
You always are like annoyed at that. You're like, ah.
But yo,
so and boy, could he dance and be beautiful.
His name was Chick Jagger, and Chick Jagger would dance to woo the ladies. He would strut,
and he would like take his wing and like flash his wing out.
Yeah, he had these like pattern motions.
Yeah, he would like had a dance that he would do, and the ladies loved it. They would like line up and bend over, like literally. They were like, "Okay, you can have it."
So at one point, we have this mobile coop. We can't have Chick Jagger in the, because we don't want him fertilizing all the eggs. Plus, when dude chickens do business,
it can be violent. Yeah.
They like jump on the back of the female, like slam their head into the ground.
Some of them can be really nasty.
The screams are gnarly. They get bloody. And then when they get bloody, the other chickens go after them. It's the dancing, very sensual, very cool looking. The actual act is really scary looking.
Yeah. So we separated them.
We had him just in this garden, and I'm working one day. I worked from home, and I'm like, it's like 10 a.m. What I would do is I'd let the hens free range, and then Chick Jagger would be stuck in this big garden with 8-foot fencing. I'm like, I'm going to go take a walk, get some fresh air. And I walk outside, and I don't see any of the hens, and I don't see Chick Jagger, but I see this beautiful hawk perched on the garden fencing. So I'm like, oh, my. I start running towards the garden. This hawk, like, beautifully flies away. I mean, I think the first thing I said to Kara was, like, this hawk was so beautiful. Like, it was so graceful to watch it fly. And then I get into freak out mode, and I find Chick Jagger laying on the ground, like, head all bloody, motionless. I walk up. I'm like, oh, dude, Jags, I'm so sorry. I go to pick up the body, and as soon as I touch him, he jumps. This is a straight cartoon. He jumps up and runs, just like, ah, and runs right into a raised garden bed box and, like, kind of knocks himself silly. And I am able to grab him. I look at him. He's, like, bloody but fine. Like, I think this hawk just grabbed him and was, like, doing slow work, and I came out at the right moment.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because he's a little thing.
And then I'm like, oh, no, where are the other hens? And I see a couple of them hiding. Like, it's kind of crazy the way they hide. They're either, like, super motionless and out in the open, or, yo, they're gone.
Yeah, you can't find them for a while.
And you need, like, there's times where we bring out a hard-boiled egg, their favorite treat.
To get them out.
So I'm walking around. I find 5 of the 6, all but one, who, her name is Rosie. Rosie ended up living, spoiler alert. And she was she's our oldest living chicken to date. She lived like 6+ years, but I'm like running around the yard. I'm yelling her name. Like, it's going to do something. I run like through this creek to like where I thought there might be a hawk nest to see if I could see her in a nest. I don't know. I was freaking out. It was Rosie.
It was our first attack, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are so stressful.
I'm voice messaging because we use this voice messenger. Messaging Kara.
I could hear,
like,
him yelling running for her. I can't find Rosie.
So like I get back after running around like an idiot, and I'm like, oh man, we lost Rosie. She was awesome. That sucks. And I all of a sudden at a corner of my eye, I see her. We had a pond in the middle of the property, and she literally is like army crawling out of the mucky water through like the cattails. And I'm just like, Rosie's here. We like totally embrace, have like a
a photo shoot.
360 camera, you know, hug session. I'm like calling Kara, taking pictures. And then literally the very next day, Rosie laid the first egg we ever got.
Yeah. There's another photo shoot of that as well. Yep. It's like a trauma egg. We've had chickens lay trauma eggs.
Yeah. I think it like jump starts their like, we need to procreate.
Oh, that's interesting.
We're under attack. We need to procreate. Boom. You pop out an egg. And yeah, that was our first ever egg, but such a crazy, crazy situation. We end up realizing Chick Jagger, we need to just get rid of him. And
we put one of those crow collars on him, which is not... It
sounds bad.
It does sound bad, but it really wasn't. It's just so that they... I mean, is it letting the rooster do his thing? Absolutely not. Was it letting him be alive? Yes.
Because you couldn't have roosters where we lived.
So they can't fill their like neck sacks.
They have an air sac that fills up, and then all that air sac gets forced out, which is how they make this crazy loud noise. It's like a whoopee cushion, essentially.
And he didn't have a coop. He just lived in this like garden wall, yeah. Like...
I had like a little,
garden.
I had like a little dog, oh my God. Dog
we tried. And then we ended up taking him to like Last Chance Ranch in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And
he,
I was like, you
his
can
live, long day.
Live your life, buddy. I like cried a little bit. The person was like, he's going to be fine. I'm like, I know.
They're
fine.
Like, look at him
it's
dancing over there.
I'm like, it's just a chicken. It's not a big deal.
So we realized, oh, you know what? We should probably get chickens that are sexed a little better. So we purposely get the ones that, I think it's like 95% chance you know the sex based on the color, whatever.
They do this like, you know, weird, they look in their butt thing, I think.
There is that too.
Yeah. So,
and yeah, we've really liked it. We really like getting the baby chicks now and bringing them up.
Oh my God. They're so fun, baby chicks.
We haven't hatched eggs and we haven't had our chickens raise any chicks.
I want that so bad.
Boy, does Kara want that.
I want that so bad.
We now have 11 hens that are all laying eggs, and we've got this kind of permanent coop set up. And then we also have a mobile coop that we can move throughout the yard. And we have an electric fence that we can like set up in an area with it has a solar battery. And we can set that up in the areas so they kind of stay contained. But, I mean, the best thing we have
is Kima, girl.
Is Kima, our Australian cattle dog. Kima just, from the day we got chickens, totally understood.
Yeah.
Like, she never...
She watches the skies.
She looks to the sky. She acts differently with different animals. She still barks at turkey vultures, but boy, does she bark at hawks in like a way more aggressive manner. It's really, really interesting. She'll like look at a deer and be like, yo, dude, a fox, it's insane. She goes into like Rambo mode. Two different times she's caught a fox. Both times I've been running like, let go of the fox. And she's on top of it, just bitten down on its neck, just holding it.
She never killed that.
Never, no, I mean, they run away.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they're going to give you rabies, or you're going to get hurt. Like, let go of it. And then she'll let go and the thing will run away, and then she'll run after it and catch it again. And I'm like, get back here. What are you doing?
She has missed a couple though.
And she has this, like, she hops back like so proud so of happy. Herself. Like, I caught a fox.
She, even this last time when we had the babes out for the first night, she went and sat by their coop at night.
Oh my God. We transitioned the chicks from inside brooder to an outside brooder that was like right next to the house, had a warming light in it. Anytime, ooh, Kara's cracking another beer. Anytime we go, hey, Kima, come inside. She goes, all right, cool, I'm coming. I was like, Kima, get over here. Kima, where the hell are you? And I go, and she's laying next to the coop and looks at me like, I'm not moving. And I went, all right. And she just stayed outside with the chickens all night.
So sweet.
It was the most adorable thing ever.
So sweet. She's the best.
So we make sure whenever they're out, Kima's outside. And she's literally eyes to the sky. Like, she's on it. Sometimes you're like, yo, dude, you're sleeping. What are you doing? Like, I'm not sleeping.
I'm awake. I'm awake.
Resting my eyes.
Yeah, she's invaluable.
But be careful. We had a bad instance where a friend came over to watch our chickens and brought their dog and killed one of our chickens.
The sweetest chicken we ever had, ever.
She was best.
We were so upset about it. You would have thought one of our dogs died.
It was a bad time. It was bad timing in our lives, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, people don't know. And it was just a kind of a freak thing. It's too bad. We had friends that had like a family member came over with like a dog, and all it did was just like flick its nose under a chicken and like flick it in the air a little bit, broken neck.
Yep.
Like, so don't think your dog is good. If a dog is raised with, like, I would never worry about Kima with any chicken ever. And I would never worry about Duncan with any chicken ever.
The chickens hate Duncan.
Our chickens pick on our Boston Terrier.
They're like, get out of here. They will like, yeah, they're like, it's funny because they love Kima. And they're like, Duncan, they're like, we don't like you.
They will lay with Kima. They will literally lay with her and curl up touching her while they're laying in the coop area. And it's like, no big deal. Duncan just looks at them and they like puff up and get pecky at his face.
This smoked lager is so good from Forest of Maine. Deciduous.
Deciduous.
Oh, I really like
this
it.
This beer is so good. So, what are we talking
about? So it's winter.
What's going on right now? So we've done like 6 mil plastic, 3 mil plastic. We've wrapped plastic around the outside of our coop run area that's exposed to, you know, it's all screened in for the most part. To keep it warmer, we've done insulation board. We've done like plywood in a bunch of places to keep warmth in. And then last year, Kara found an idea where you just do, it's like a 17 millimeter, this thick nursery tarp.
Clear
tarp.
So it lets sunlight in.
And it has rivets. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Has rivets. So I hooked up hooks all around. I mean, this thing is literally 8 feet by 16 feet. So the entire thing wraps completely around the run part of our coop. And I just have little bungee cords that where it's connected.
It's genius. It's so simple.
So easy.
And then we have a roof on the top of the run that's open. So there's ventilation there too.
Yeah. It's open on the top and then there's a roof above that. So air can release from the top, but nothing can get in.
And
that's just on the run. There's another side to our coop. It's two doors forming a roof and a, you know, totally enclosed area. Basically.
Yeah. So we close that up. And then the other night the Arctic freeze that happened to like the whole country.
Literally. What was it, like 70% of the country was below freezing? Yeah, something.
And it happened
really
like
enough.
Pretty quickly. And
oh no, it was 70% of the country was in a winter advisory.
Okay. Well, cause today's date is the,
oh yeah, it's
December
28.
Yeah. And it was like freezing and I look and chickens will molt, lose their feathers. It's like the days getting shorter signals them to lose their feathers. But our one chicken named Blue, she was like, had no feather. She is like in full molt.
She just started molting like the first day of the freeze.
Yeah. And I was like, oh no. So I ran out to Lowe's and I got insulation board and the guy, you know, I like smiled at him and he cut it on the saw. What is that called?
Yeah, it's like that big saw that's
meant
for plywood.
He's like, we're not allowed to do this. And I was like, but please? Yeah. And he was like, I'm like, my chickens will be so cold.
Please, sir.
Please.
Tiny Tim.
I gave him a good tip.
I was waiting for what that was.
$5. It was $5.
Okay.
It was $5.
Like, get me fired up, puffing my chest out like
your
Chick
face.
Jagger right
and
now.
I was like, what's your face look like that for?
What's his name?
And I just like put it on the outside of the coop because if you put it on the inside of the coop, the chickens are like addicted to the like pecking and eating the insulation.
Oh yeah.
Which is so unhealthy. Even I have this whole contraption. Every time they come out, I gotta move things so they don't get it because they just want to eat it. I think I'm gonna wrap it in duct tape so they can't get to it.
Yeah, we have a screening you can put over it, which will be really easy
to
block it. But that was more just because it which went freakishly
so
low
and,
out of nowhere.
And she was
one
molting.
Of our chickens has no feathers.
Yeah.
She's doing great, though.
She is doing great. So that does happen. Like, sometimes chickens molt at inopportune
times. It always seems
times.
Like it's the worst time because they do it when it starts getting colder. I mean, that's just their natural cycle.
But so you never want to put sweaters on chickens, even when they're molting like that, because then they can't puff up and they can't trap the air underneath them. And people think that they should put sweaters on them, but
crazy
they
chicken people, stop putting sweaters on your chickens.
Yeah, and so they can't warm themselves. And then you want to give them more calcium. So I put like plenty of oyster shells in the coop, and we've been giving her more soldier fly larvae,
which is a lot of calcium. Like the difference between mealworms and soldier fly larvae, as far as dried worms, it's something nuts, like 50 times more calcium in soldier fly. Look it up. I don't know the exact number, but it's a bigger number than I would ever expect to see.
Yeah, we changed and we started buying that because of its calcium content.
Here's something pretty cool, like the scratch.
Yeah.
So what is scratch?
It can be different things, but
dried
a lot of times
corn.
It's like cracked corn cracked is what corn, we're really corn. Talking about.
So a lot of people cracked corn and chickens, like I think a lot of people like, yeah, that's chicken feed. Like, you know, if you go to a zoo or something, you know, they've like put a quarter in.
Oh, yeah.
And you turn it, you get a thing of cracked corn that you can give to the ducks or chickens, whatever they've got hanging around. In warm weather, not good for the chickens. There's not a much nutrient value.
Well, it also is hard for them to break down. So the reason you want to give them cracked corn in the colder months, like a half an hour before bed, is because it takes a lot of their energy to metabolize it. And so it raises their body heat and it keeps them warmer. So like we'll buy it every winter, but as soon as it starts getting warm, we're like, take more, like get rid of it. Cause you don't want to give it to them in the summer because it's easier for chickens to stay warm.
I love it.
Oh yeah. It's easier for them to stay warm in the winter than it is to stay cool in the summer because their body temperatures like are higher.
Yeah. It's it's funny, like a backpacking trip, if you're cold weather backpacking, is right before you go to sleep, you drink a bunch of cold water, and it sparks your body to get into heat up mode, and your body uses energy to heat itself up, and you take that, it literally is like building heat up for in your sleeping bag, where most people would go like, no, I should drink hot water before I go to bed. No, your body goes like, oh, I don't need to create as much heat. And then all of a sudden you're in this sleeping bag like, why am I colder than usual? Although my favorite trick, if you're backpacking,
oh my God, this is 100% what everybody should be doing.
Fill up a Nalgene bottle or a very secure water bottle with hot water and put it in your sleeping bag.
And put it next to your like arteries.
Yeah, if you start feeling cold, put it next to your femoral artery. All of a sudden you'll feel your entire body start warming up. But it's also great to just have it in your sleeping bag. It warms your bag up. Just make sure it's in a really nice container that's tight.
Yeah, last thing you want is wet water.
Shout out Nalgene. Your containers are awesome.
Yeah, so we gave them crack corn throughout the day on those cold days. You don't want to give them too much because it's not good for them.
You know what I was thinking about cracked corn?
What?
Okay, so if chickens could live naturally just, you know, feral, right? Cracked corn would only be available in colder months. It would only be available after the season is done with and the corn has dried and the corn has gone hit the ground. And that's when they would need it. It's funny, like nature provides, because that's what these other animals, that these other birds and stuff.
So what's happening?
That's when they have access to this, which helps them keep warm, which helps them stay alive.
Which is if you do have like bird feeders and stuff, there are winter bird feed.
Yeah, good call. Very good call.
For summer. And I was giving Blue specifically like more of the crack corn during those really cold days just to try to keep her warm.
I don't know if we ever talked about, I'm sure we did, when we had the flood September of 2021, and we were like preparing, we took all of our chickens, which we had like 10 chickens then.
I'm not sure.
And we had all the chickens in a bathroom on our second floor of the house, like
in dog cages,
in these big dog cages.
By the way, like, it was like luxury. I like set that thing up.
You had like branches in there, so they felt natural.
Yeah. And I had like things hanging and cardboard down.
They still managed to shit on the ceiling, but like,
well, the first time we ever had a flood, there were no dog cages and they were just in
because
there.
Because we brought them up in the middle of a flood. Yeah. We brought them into the bathroom.
Yeah. That was awful. Oof. So yeah, that's what we do for winterizing. And in the winter, like in the summer, I think people probably spend more time with their chickens. I also know a lot of people that like don't spend any time with their chickens, which I think is just you're missing some pure comedy.
Oh my God.
And hilarity. But it's just easier to kind of pick up on things that could be wrong.
It's all pattern recognition. If you're hanging around the birds, you all of a sudden notice that somebody's acting different than somebody else, or somebody's acting different than themselves usually. And you can pick up on these things
right away.
Just like in beekeeping, like you look at a frame of bees and some people look at a frame of bees. I try to pick up a frame of bees and I first am looking at the bees and trying to look at individual bees to see if I see anything versus just the bees as a whole. I think especially Kara, the way you look at chickens, you're very much like, it's almost like you're dialing a quick checklist in your head as you're checking them out, but you're just hanging out with them.
Yeah. Well, and also we can now see them from the house. So like I could be in the kitchen and look out the window and be like, there's something wrong.
She's acting differently. All right. So what are you looking at?
So there's just different parts of the body that are easy to look at, especially in the winter, if you just want to kind of run through that checklist. So the first thing is just like we said with Blue, like the feathers, and just can tell, you know, where they're at in the molting process, because that's probably happening to a lot of chickens. Also, Blue was bleeding from her backside because as she was growing the feathers, they like the quills can crack. And if you know anything about chickens, they are cannibals.
When they see blood, they see blood.
They're very like obsessive about things.
Yeah, they're a bit neurotic.
Yeah, and it's probably inbreeding. Some comedian was like, we domesticated animals and gave them anxiety. It was like so good. Like
we brought it. Dan Soder.
Is it him?
As yeah. Dan Soder was talking about how wolves used to hunt humans, and now we have them as we've brought them indoors and given them anxiety.
It's so good. I was like, oh my God. So just like immediately having to clean that up, because I saw the other chickens like looking at her butt, wanting to peck at her, and she's the top dog, so she has that going for her. But just brought her in, cleaned her up a little bit, and threw some cornstarch. We had to do it twice because they kind of kept cracking.
But she's got like straight Hellraiser looking quills?
Yeah.
Coming out. It's crazy looking. And also, seeing it one day to the next is pretty wild too. He's like, oh my God, it grew like a quarter of an inch, half an inch.
Which, and then chickens don't lay eggs while they're growing feathers because it takes a crazy amount of calcium to grow their feathers back.
The amount of calcium it must take just to make an egg every day. I mean, we have chickens that are 6 days a week laying eggs. It's so nuts.
Also, if you have never really looked into how eggs are formed, Auburn University put out this YouTube video about the forming of eggs, and it is wild. You should watch it. It's like maybe 9 minutes.
Is it like a fast forward type thing?
What do you mean fast forward?
Like a time lapse of an egg forming?
It's like a computer. It's a CGI thing. It's so good.
My favorite thing about that, my favorite fact about eggs is that the yolk is where literally the chick's stomach forms around the yolk. And when they're born, they have a stomach full of yolk, which is their first food source that can give them nutrients for up to like a week or something before they're able to like, you know, peck and eat some food that their mom has hopefully put in front of them. But that's why chickens love eggs.
That's why they're cannibals.
Born with yolk in their stomach. Like what?
Yeah.
But that's what the yolk is. It's literally just from the jump. It's the food source that goes into their stomach when they're born.
So any chicken that's bleeding in any way, you got to get that.
By the way, if you're bleeding when you're hanging out with chickens, they get on you and will go after the spot. If you have a little like scratch on your leg or a mosquito bite that you idiotically scratch too much like I do, chickens will find it.
Or if you're getting a pedicure in the summer, don't pick red because I've made that mistake. I'm like,
You can actually take like a Sharpie I'm sure you can buy a special chicken paint, but if they have a cut or something, you put it over it to cover the red color. Just make it blue or black and they don't care about it. But red, they know.
And white is also, it's like red and white.
They really like
white. That's why they like the styrofoam and they like snow too.
All right, so you look at them.
So their feathers?
You have like an actual checklist of what you look at?
Yeah, their feet. Nice. So feet is, if they're limping or anything like that, bumblefoot is... we used to put like jagged rocks.
Bumble, bumblefoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to have jagged rocks around our coop.
Yeah, just
to help with drainage.
Yeah, just typical like gravel rocks, but they can be a little sharp.
And they can easily cut their feet, which we're like, oh, we should have never done jagged rocks. And that is the bumble is like, I'm sure if you have chickens, you probably know this, but like it's like this plug.
It's like a giant blackhead.
Yeah, it is kind of. And you have to dig it out
you've like cut it out with a razor blade.
Yeah, well.
And like.
Scalpel.
Dig it out. Yeah, scalpel. Dig it out.
And then pull it out. And then the thing about chickens is they will heal very quickly for the most part if there's nothing wrong with them. They will tell you when there's a problem and they will either recover quickly or they'll die.
They respond to treatment very quickly. It's really impressive.
So we had this one chicken, Palomino. She had a bumblefoot. It was not getting better. I had like taken care of bumblefoot so many times. It was spreading on her foot. It was going to the top of her foot.
You see like a swollen foot and then you look on the bottom, you see the big blackhead kind of spot and you're like, it's back.
And like she just, there's like so much pus.
And we lived, that was our old farm that was a wetter environment where I think like water just... didn't go away as much, where I think it was a little breeding ground for some bacteria and stuff. So if she had a cut from the gravel and then we had a rainstorm in the summer, it would just not a good environment. And next thing you know, it's like, you know, Vietnam dudes walking through the swamps getting swamp foot.
Ugh, it was so gnarly. Yeah. And that vet tape is like the number one thing. You cut it in a certain way. You can Google it. She was such a good patient.
It's that patient, like flexible.
And it sticks to itself.
So good. It reminds me of boxer. Like the way you do it reminds me of a boxer lining his hands before a fight.
So she was not getting better. I bought, if you really need it, you can go and get, there's like koi fish antibiotic powder that, like, I guess kois get like ulcers and problems and they use it for that. So you can get antibiotic powder. And I was using that and I was giving her soaks and it wasn't working. And I was putting like plantain leaves on to suck out the, it was months. And like, she was just the best.
She was such a good patient.
Finally, I make this dog salve for dogs that has comfrey root and plantain leaves in it to help with like wound healing and cell, like literally cell regeneration. And I was like, why haven't I been using this? And I started using that. And
it was like 1 week. It was,
I was like, I'm an idiot. Like
healed up completely.
Yeah. Because I was putting propolis on it. I was putting honey on it. I was putting everything on it and nothing was working.
Somebody gave us like a prescription and a prescription cream that their vet had given for a cut their dog had. Like it was like a prescription strength.
Yes.
Well, you know,
I forgot about
Neosporin,
that.
For lack of a better word.
And nothing worked.
Shout out Cara Jo, doggies.
Yeah, for real. There was at the one place that we beekeep that has like a huge farm, they had a chicken that seemed like Bumblefoot, seemed like the same thing. They had me over and they're like, what do you think is the problem with this chicken?
You see a fat foot, you're like, it's Bumblefoot.
But there was no bumble. There's got to be like a black mark on the bottom of it. And there wasn't. So I just did some research and I was like, dude, I think your chicken has gout.
Gout?
Yeah.
Like, what do they call that? The King's disease or something?
Yeah, like your chicken is eating, what are you feeding her? And they're like, well, we're giving them like a lot of cafeteria scraps. And I was like, you need to cut that out. They cut it out. Chicken got better. So people, chickens can get gout.
It's like a neck bearded beer geek disease, gout.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. And then just like, you know, cracked toenails can happen too on the feet.
Well, scaly legs, like kind of feet extended, but there's a mite that can get under the scales and they get scaly leg. And you just see these like painful red scaly legs versus, you know, smooth kind of like a crocodile skin or something.
Yeah, which is the same, just that little.
Yeah. What was I going to say about the feet? Oh, dude, JoJo.
Yeah. That was the leg.
Okay. Well, might as well just talk about it now.
Wait,
JoJo,
did we already talk about the whole tick stuff?
I don't think so.
So if there's mites, one little drop of that dog tick.
So back in the day, I was saying we got like Craigslist chickens. They had all these mites. It was so gnarly. We're like putting ash on them. We're putting lime.
We have to burn like, parts of the coop over and over again.
I had used a lot of plywood, which is like the hotel for mites. I mean, they're so easy to get into little cracks and crevices. Now if I use plywood, I seal the edges to just try to help that. Somebody said, just take the Advantix or, you know, the dog tick medicine stuff that you put in between their shoulder blades. There's probably like 100 drop equivalents in one of those things. One little drop on the back of every chicken, literally within one day, mites completely gone.
Yep.
And those chickens weren't laying eggs, so it didn't matter to us. There is a thing like don't eat the eggs for a certain amount of time. I always love the lady that was like in the comment section. She's like, do you know I have three dogs that sleep in bed with me, and they sleep in bed with me the night I give them their tick medicine. I think I'm ingesting enough just like hanging out that I'm not worried about the eggs.
We're good.
I think probably we're good, but, you know, read it up.
Yeah. Yeah, but so yeah, that just works well. But I mean, that's just also like just like don't buy chickens from weird places.
And just, you know, it's be proactive so you don't get to that point. But if for some reason all of a sudden you go, oh my God, you look under their wings, you see the little red, they're like little red blood spots, and you can see the mites, like literally little chew marks, you can see them. If you are at that point, or if you're moving their bedding away and you're seeing the mites, like, yo, you have problems. That is the step in right now, because those mites are sucking the blood of the birds that don't have a ton of blood to begin with. and immediately they will start falling to other diseases. It's like bees. The varroa mites are sucking the life force out of the bees, and then they don't have life force. They can't fight disease.
Totally. Done. It's totally worth it. Yeah, so Jojo.
Best name bird, I think. I feel like we have right now.
Ever? Maybe Chick Jagger was really Chick good. Chick Jagger, then.
Rest in peace. Or no, Chick Jagger's still alive, still doing his thing. That'd be great. Jojo is an M as a
Bielefelder,
like fancy chicken. So beautiful.
She's huge.
Joel Embiid, holler, will be a Hall of Fame Philadelphia 76er. Jojo Bielefelder is just, come on.
She's the best.
It's the best.
She's so sweet.
We have two birds we call Maxie. Shout out Tyrese Maxie.
So when she was little, she would like hobble around and we just thought she was like this big dumb chicken that was like doofy and we thought it was cute.
Because she's a big, big girl. And I think just like, you know, I'm 6'6 now. When I was a kid, I think people thought I was like older than I was and I would just be stumbling around and they were like, oh, he's just a dumb big kid. Little did they know I was like 1 year old and it was amazing I was walking.
Yeah, you really were a giant child.
So I think Jojo, just this big bird, you're like, she's kind of bumbling around. No big deal.
We thought it was funny. We would like laugh. And then one day, not that long ago.
Like her leg's swollen.
She wasn't walking. She wasn't walking around. And
yeah, she was just laying in the dirt bath.
Yeah, she like wasn't really. I was like, there's something wrong with Jojo. At first, her leg didn't look swollen, and then it started to look swollen. So I just read, like, my chicken's totally fine, but she's not walking. We figure out there's this thing. It's called porosis. There's like a slip tendon, and it starts when they're little. So that's how I also knew. It wasn't like quick onset
check,
thing.
Check.
Yeah, yeah, it was like this chicken has kind of always had this problem. And what it is it's a nutrient deficiency from when they're little. And they need certain nutrients. It's manganese, biotin, choline, and then niacin and folic acid. But then those first three, the manganese, the biotin, the choline, were the number one things. And I was like, no way this chicken's leg problem is like nutrient.
Right. And no other chickens are having it. You're like, they all eat and drink the same stuff. What's going on here?
So NutriDrench, which is, if you don't have NutriDrench, you...
NutriDrench, N-U-T-R-I, Nutra, and then Drench.
Yeah. You just need to have it on hand. It has saved chickens' lives.
Not exactly.
Literally. Like we got a little babe chick and she was like great. And then all of a sudden she was like dying and we called the place.
An hour of bringing her home, we're like, this chicken is kind of lifeless. This one day old chick is kind of lifeless. The other one seemed fine. Do you see this? And they were like, what?
Yeah, they didn't know. And I was like,
bring her back. We'll give you a new one.
We're like, we live an hour away. So I gave her, you can give them like immediate, direct. It absorbs directly in their bloodstream. And I gave it to her and I walked away and I was like, Greg, I just think this baby chick's gonna die. And he's like, why? She's perfect. She's walking around. I'm like, what? She's fine?
You went, no. The other one. And I'm like, yeah, no. I'm talking about the right one. She's picking on somebody right now. And you were like, no, she's not. And you walked over and sure enough, you're like, oh my God, you wouldn't have been able to tell. She was no
who
different.
It was. Yeah. So NutriDrench, I immediately went over to my NutriDrench. It's got manganese in it. So I started giving her that. And then I looked up, there's the Southland Organics. They just like have like these different products and it seems like really great. It's the Catalyst Poultry Vitamin. And it's got the biotin and the choline in it. Oh, and it's got folic acid in it. So we bought this stuff. Dude, her leg is better. Like, she's fine.
In one day.
We were putting this Catalyst Poultry Vitamin formula in their all the chickens' waters, and then we were giving her...
1 milliliter.
Direct. We were giving Jojo direct NutriDrench, and like every once in a while she'll have a little limp. We'll give her a little NutriDrench. She's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's wild. So legs, man. But that's like a... That's a baby thing too, so you got to keep out for that. If you look at their undercarriage, we've had chickens that have like really swollen undercarriages, like under where their like butt is. Yeah. And they can get water belly. And if they have water belly, they essentially, their heart or their liver is having problems, and they're like, there's fluid around their organs. But we've had chickens live for a pretty good amount of time with it.
You look at it, you can drain it. Yeah. And you know if it's the right one or not. We've tried to drain a chicken and it hasn't worked. And we realize it's not water belly. It's something else.
Yeah. You're like pulling out like pus.
Yeah. It wasn't like that. Water belly, it's like, it like drips out waterish liquid.
You can kill a chicken draining it. And we've.
Don't drain too much.
Yeah. Or like, it just can, I mean, it can just kind of shock their system. So you need to be careful about
that. And these are the things that most people are like, well, that chicken's probably not laying eggs anyway. You know, this is livestock. I'm not worried about it.
But
and
is the chicken it bringing dies. Beautiful joy to your life or not?
With us, we, these are like little friends. So we're fine if they're not laying eggs. We're not, you know, whatever.
Yeah. They're still doing their job around the.
Yeah. Still scratching, pecking and pooping.
Yeah. And then even their chest, like if a chicken is sick. Like their front chest underneath their crop, you can kind of tell, you can feel their breastbone, and you can look up a chart online, but like you can tell if they're too emaciated, if they're too skinny. That's really where you want to check how they're doing weight wise.
A lot of times it's hard to tell because they'll puff out their feathers and their feathers will look great, but then you pick them up and you're like, yo dog, you're really lightweight.
Yeah,
and then you feel that breastbone and you're like, ooh, got it. This isn't good.
And then another place you want to check is their crop, which is where they store the food because they don't have stomachs.
Yeah. And it's where it like all breaks down and then nutrients get sucked out of that. But yeah, it's the first spot of like composting essentially, right? Like,
I don't know if it's, does it break down in their crop?
I think so. That's why you need the grit. The grit like breaks it as
okay. And then it goes down into their like gizzard,
which is, I think, why you can get like yeast infections in the crop. It's an imbalance. You need that proper balance for that digestion to be occurring.
Yeah. So if you get a yeast infection in the crop, it smells really awful.
Sour crop.
Yeah. Sour crop.
It'll be very, very
squishy.
Squishy crop. There won't be a lot of heart in it. It's like a water balloon feeling squishy.
And you want to smell their breath. And if it smells
like rotten milk,
then you have sour crop. And the easiest way, you have to go through a whole protocol of like not feeding them, separating
them.
Yeah. But Monistat.
Which for vaginal yeast infection.
Yeah.
Is it a suppository?
They're suppositories.
Suppository. So, which you usually put in your vagina? Not you your, sure do. I hope.
No.
You've experienced this.
Well, TMI for the.
Yeah. It's not like we had this sitting around and you're like, let's try to use my vagina pills.
You go, I don't think you've ever experienced this.
I haven't heard about it at least. Yo, your face mad red right now, dude. Well, it's just so like, red. I don't know. But anyway. What is funny is Kara's like, don't worry, I'll be the one that goes and gets it at CVS. Meanwhile, like I should be the one that gets it because I'm not obviously putting it in my vagina, so it's not embarrassing for me.
Well, I don't care if the 15-year-old boy that's ringing me up doesn't know what this is.
I thrive in an awkward situation like that where I'm like, sell any of these today?
So you
get a little extra cheese on the taco.
You can just get the if you look it up, there's people that are like, you cannot get this, this will kill your chicken. I've used it so many times with great success.
Great success.
And you know they don't like it, but just I think it's like a third of a suppository put down their throat, works like a charm. Because sauerkraut can turn into like a big bacterial infection and kill them. The other squishy crop is if you miss. So an impacted crop is not a squishy crop. So impacted crop is like whatever.
Hard ball. Yeah.
And the way that you can really test crops is in the morning. You want to go in the morning and see if there's any fullness to the crop because it should be empty.
Before they filled up on food, if they have leftover from the day before, there's an issue.
Right. So a lot of times, like I might see something at night and then I'll wait until the morning to see how it is. Impacted crop, olive oil down their throat, which is what are those little squirty eyedropper things?
Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
Whatever. We have a bunch of them. I guess just an eyedropper would work. A little
plastic, like milliliter. Yeah.
Science.
Chemistry.
Things.
Yeah.
Olive oil, and then you give them a little massage. that usually breaks up an impacted crop. But if you don't get the impacted crop in time and you don't catch it, some of that can go down into their gizzard. And if it goes down into their gizzard and an impaction's in their gizzard, it's most likely going to kill the chicken.
Yeah, there's really nothing. You'd have to have surgically remove it. And I mean, that's, you know.
Unless.
Dun, dun, dun.
And the way that you know that is if it's if their crop is squishy, but it doesn't have a smell, that means that there's a backup. And that's. Yeah,
it's just nothing's moving through.
That's worse than a sour crop. So.
And by the way, they won't be eating much. Like you can tell the squishiness, but you can also be like, that chicken, I feel like isn't really eating. Because there's nowhere for it to go.
Yeah. So and they start to get emaciated in their breastbone. So you're like, feel it. Well, one time I went and picked up a chicken and I went to pick her up and water just started squirting out of her mouth. She died very quickly, which is, then we got an autopsy and figured this out.
What's the difference between an autopsy and a necropsy?
I think it's the same exact thing. Oh, okay. I don't know if necropsy is only for animals.
Yeah, but Pennsylvania, Penn State Agriculture Extension, I feel like some combination of those words. But we were able to drop off a bird that had died a few days before.
It's like $50.
I think it was even less than that.
It's like students and they learn about
gave us like a super detailed, it was really great.
If you ever have a chicken and you're like, I don't know why, because we had a bunch of chickens die within like a certain amount of time. And I was like, what's going on?
We had a handful, not even a handful, but yeah. All right.
Yeah. Me, it was a bunch.
Here's what was crazy. It was when we got upended from the flood and moved and gave them a new place to live. And it was all happening. It took us like a year to realize, not quite. It took us after the necropsy, we started picking up on it. I was buying bales of hay and throwing that dried hay or straw down when I put seeds down. Don't use hay and straw for chickens. They pick that up and they can't digest it and it impacts their everything. Don't do it. Now when I throw seeds, I just throw some dirt on top or even like pine shavings. We have a lot of pine shavings that we don't really use anymore. And I'll throw those down, but don't use hay and straw. And definitely don't use the stuff that comes with tack. We used to buy, you know, it just is easier. You throw any seed down and you throw this straw with tack on it and it doesn't, you know, fly away. It stays down. It's even worse, more gums up. So like,
oh man,
but nowhere on the internet did it say anything like that.
Well, because it tells you put straw and hay in their coop in the winter. So this is how we figured this out. We have this chicken, Lucy. She was so sweet. She has, our one chicken dies of this impacted crop gizzard.
We called her Lucy because when she was little, she would always escape.
Always
be able to get out of things. So she was Lucy Goosey.
Same thing. Impacted crop. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna heal this chicken. So we get the dog cage out and I find this dude that's this farmer for like, he has like hundreds of chickens and he makes this Epsom salt solution, olive oil, and he gives them molasses just to give them like extra nutrients. So we put her away. I'm doing this whole thing, Epsom salt, trying to break down.
I bet the molasses is feeding bacteria that's trying to eat away at this impaction. I bet that's what that is.
Okay. I never used the molasses because we didn't have it.
Gotcha.
But he said that should be part of it. And he's never had a chicken die, of an impaction.
We should tell him to stop using straw.
So, right? So we do it. And this chicken was young. And
she was vibrant.
Yeah. And she was like, I'm not dying. Yeah. Like I'm
ready. Beautiful.
Chicken. Yeah. I'm ready to fight this thing. So we go out, I don't know, it was like a couple days. I'm doing this thing. She's not eating. She's not pooping. That's a big sign.
Big sign.
And we come home and there is this huge poop. We were like cheering about this poop.
7 inches long.
Oh my goodness.
8 inches long.
With just this matted, we didn't know at the time, but it had straw in it.
That we knew when we looked at it.
And like pulled it apart and it was like even hard to pull it apart. It was like a
crazy dreadlock.
It was nuts. And then the next morning she pooped out even more of this like fibrous material.
It was like a broomstick coming out of her. It was nuts.
So we got her to pass this thing that was like stuck in her gizzard, or it gets stuck in their duodenum or whatever. We put her back. She's good. She gets it again. She dies.
And then we realize
it's the straw.
Oh my God, it's the straw.
We saved her, and then we put her back in the same freaking thing. Also, what I did was I gave her Epsom salt baths.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big changing point. The night before she passed the giant turd, you had soaked her in Epsom salt.
Which just helps relax them. Epsom salt baths like seem to help chickens. I don't know, if something's wrong with them, give them an Epsom salt bath. Was I just put it in the, put them in a bucket.
Here's just a random thing I always, people just don't seem to know. We don't have any hens, or we have all hens. We don't have any roosters. So none, we know the eggs aren't fertilized. We don't wash our eggs. So we have a couple families that buy eggs from us. Just it's great. It just helps us pay for their supplemental food. And it's so nice. Like, people we know that use our eggs every week. But we give them to them non-washed, so they don't have to put them in the fridge. They can sit out. There's a coating that is, when the egg comes out of the oviduct or whatever you call it, there's a coating, like a bacterial coating that seals that egg up and seals it. So you don't need to worry about refrigeration. The reason you refrigerate eggs is either you washed off that coating, or they might be fertilized and it's too warm out. So as soon as you put a fertilized egg in the fridge, it dies, you know, quote unquote. And you don't have to worry about all of a sudden, you know, having a more formed egg in there than you want. But yeah, it's the folks that get our eggs, it's like, hey, just, you know, wash them before you use them.
It's like a baby coming out of the birth canal.
And you can leave them on the counter for, I mean, it's like up to a month, no problem at all. They don't last that long.
Well, the eggs you get from the grocery store are mad old.
There was a whole thing, if you look it up, it's like an egg you get on Memorial Day was probably laid before Christmas.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. That's why I don't like them.
Kind of gross. And died. That's why they're all white. It's just ridiculous to me.
So, okay, couple more places. The vent is their butt.
Oh, I'm sorry. Places that are looking for problems.
Yes. Their butt should be pretty.
Yeah, you don't want pasty butt.
No, it should be like pale and like pink.
Just flip up the tail feather. You get to see, you get a quick look at the vent.
We haven't really had many vent problems. Like, we give them apple cider vinegar.
It is something with chicks that you want to check for, that pasty butt. Chicks, you always want to make sure they're...
You might have to pull poop out of their little baby vent. Their vents are so cute when they're little. We also, there's this rooster booster stuff. It's got like vitamins, electrolytes, and lactobacillus that we use.
It's literally called rooster booster.
Yeah, they have a bunch of different products.
Rooster Booster's the brand. It's vitamins and electrolytes with lactobacillus. Got it. That's a little powder. This jar will last forever.
We've had it forever. You can give them a little bit of yogurt. One thing when I started checking their vents is like they open and close and open and close and open and close. And that's just like totally normal. Like if you see your hen.
Oh yeah. Like pulsating a bit.
But like if it's just kind of doing that and you're like, why? It's totally fine if it's doing that. Their eyes are a good place to look. Like you can tell like if they're being responsive or not.
They're like, they get like listless eyes when they're weak, especially any chickens we've had that haven't been able to eat because of blockages or something where they're not getting nutrients. You look in their eyes and you're like, you're not all here right now.
Well, because
most of the time you look at a chicken's eyes, they're like daggers at you. Like they're so like, they have a focused eye.
Yeah. Because they're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's part of their security or whatever.
No doubt.
So yeah, I think we're like probably pretty goodly preemptive with that. Their eyes, their waddle, obviously, injuries. One of our hens got like a gnarly injury. I don't know if it got caught or Mo. Remember her like whole waddle was like open.
Yeah. She had like a
doggies, man. If you have chickens, you should just buy the doggies. It's so good.
We use it even to protect against frostbite when they get little, you can tell in the wintertime they're getting dry.
Yeah.
It's like lube them up a bit.
Beautiful. They're beautiful. Also, if their waddles are turning purple, that means like a lack of oxygen. I don't have much to help with that. Like one of our chickens just sometimes has purple waddles.
Well, we noticed, you know, on one of our old hens that had that swollen belly that wasn't water belly. And every once in a while, she would get the blue waddle. And it was because she was getting, her circulation was getting cut off because she was, you know, had this big belly that was filled up with pus.
So it's even like if you're waiting to see like when you should cull your hen, like, is she okay? And she's just kind of uncomfortable, or is she having a hard time? Waddle's a good sign. Tail down's a good sign.
Tail down
alone is a good sign. Like, you eyes are a good sign, and you just got to kind of do it.
I've used a lot of different methods for culling. It's not fun to talk about. The method I've used that I continue to use now is just the broomstick method. You can look that up. It sucks. It's terrible. It's always terrible. It's not fun. But it's, I think for me, the quickest and easiest.
Yeah. I gotta tell the story.
I don't want to end on that one.
No, I gotta tell the story about, so we got these hens from my aunt and we got a bunch of chickens. She said they were silkies. They weren't. They were a bunch of bantam chickens we got like five roosters out of like eight chickens.
Yeah. Cause they were so beautiful.
And
oh, that was her granddaughter picked them all out. And she picked out all the most beautiful chickens at the farm.
Go.
And they were,
gotta get the ugly ones.
All dudes.
They were all roosters. And like, you can't have five roosters.
And it's like one rooster per like dozen or two dozen chickens.
So Greg,
hens, I mean,
Greg had to call these roosters. And we're back in the garden.
This is the first time I ever had to do that.
Chick Jagger had to live in. And so we put all of the hens in the garden. They would like live in the garden when the garden was like off season. Not live in it, but like hang out. And Greg,
scratch and peck. They were like clean in the garden.
Yeah, it was like so great. They would clean themselves. It was the best. So Greg's in the garage and he was doing like a different method.
I called a chicken.
Yeah. And the other, so he walks out and he's like all upset about it.
I'm like, that sucks.
Just like bummed. Yeah. Like
nobody likes doing that.
And all of the chickens, I'm standing in the garden, all the chickens start flying at Greg.
They're like clinging to the fence that I'm standing next to, the fence that's in between them and me. They're clawing at the fence trying to get to me.
It was crazy. And I was like, Greg, I think they want you come in the garden. And I'm standing in the garden. Nobody's doing anything to me.
What is going on right now?
He walks in the garden and they all fly on him.
And land on my arms and shoulders.
Yeah.
And I had four birds perching on me. To date, this has never happened again. I've had birds fly up into my hand, into my arms, or fly up onto my back one at a time. This was a one-time occurrence with these chickens. I don't know whether they were like, yo, don't kill us. Or they were like, sorry, you had to deal with that.
It was insane.
That was like a weird, nipples are hard talking
and
about.
And then you
it.
Had your arms out and there were just chickens perched on both arms.
I totally forgot about that. That was weird universe shit, man.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, weird.
And then Palomino, that same chicken she must have had something wrong with her that her bumble wasn't healing.
Good point.
She ended up getting like her whole waddle collapsed and she looked like she was wearing a beret.
Yeah.
And she was real skinny. I couldn't figure out what happened. Like, so chickens' waddles can fall like when they're young, but like when they're older, I never figured out what was wrong with her, but she was living. I mean, she was the last one out every night.
Oh, yeah.
Or last one in every night. Like, so just waddles are a good place to check.
Again, when you see something change. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this whole podcast was us telling people how bad of a chicken owners we've been in our lives or something.
No, I actually think it's, we keep our chickens alive long enough
sick. We've just gotten involved when they've gotten sick. So and every step of the way we've learned something and gotten better and learned something and gotten better, and it's continuous.
With each chicken that gets sick, I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
It's like beekeeping. The more you experience, the more you learn, and the better you can be if you're paying attention.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that don't pay attention and they're just like, whatever. Oh, those chickens aren't laying. I had another dead chicken.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get more. We're not like that. But also, you know, there's resources out there. You go to a couple different places, I think, a lot of times.
What's that one forum? That forum is amazing.
Backyard beekeepers. Backyard beekeeping.
Backyard chickens.
Backyard chickens. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll Google a problem and then do, quote, backyard chickens. And it always brings up that forum and in depth. You've had people respond to you like months later.
Oh, I posted things.
You've responded.
Like sometimes we were like, your chicken's just dying. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to keep her alive.
But people are also like, I'm so sorry to tell you this.
Oh,
you
know, people are amazing. It's a really good forum. It's a really good forum. And like you can find so many people are like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, spend 15 minutes Googling it and you can find it.
And here's the thing too. Chickens are so rewarding because they're so fun and they're so like, they're like loving in this weird way.
They also hate you.
They also, yeah, totally. But there's something, there's this really interesting human chicken relationship. It's very different than other animals, no doubt about it. That is a point of enjoyment that I have, but also fresh eggs are like really healthy. They're better for you. They're less cholesterol. There's a lot of factors when you look at fresh farm eggs versus, you know, whatever you want to call these other eggs, mass farmed eggs or something. There's health differences in this thing. Somebody was saying if you only had one food you could ever eat, it would have to be an egg because nothing else would ever be able to sustain somebody because it contains all these nutrients.
Wow.
In one package. It doesn't mean you'd be healthy only eating an egg,
right?
You'd be able to live. Yeah, it was like if you could only have one, it wasn't like the one food to have.
Chickens also help us reduce food waste.
100%.
They help us. They're part of the whole cycle.
They help eat ticks. If you let them range around your house, they are going to crush ticks. Like
they so many benefits. Supercharge compost that helps build, like, you know, grow the flowers, that help the bees, that.
And like everything else, like with beekeeping, it got us more involved with nature. It got us more involved with understanding just these systems. And it's fascinating, fascinating stuff. So if you have room to have bees, I feel like you probably have room to have chickens. And I think you should do it. You're more than welcome. If you have questions, hit us up. mindyourhives@gmail.com. We're always happy to help. Kara especially is happy to help when it comes to chickens.
Yeah, I've helped quite a few.
Yeah, she's our chicken whisperer.
Cara Jo Bee Farm has all the chicken content now.
Yeah, so on Instagram, @CaraJoBeeFarm, our original @CaraJoSkincare. We're focusing more on the skincare side of things versus Cara Jo Bee Farm with honey and the chickens and the herbs that we're growing and infusing and all that. So, you know, we're just expanding ourselves a little bit, which is cool. I hope everybody had an awesome holiday. And yeah. I hope you have a great new year.
Happy New Year, guys. Here's to 2023. Here's to health and wellness and ease.
And I say joy. I say it every time. If you listened this long,
you are a rock star, my friend.
You're an absolute rock star. We really appreciate you. Shout out. Oh, I wish I remembered his name. Shout out our buddy that threw us some love. That's a beekeeper and a trucker. And he listens to us when he's trucking around. He sent us like such this really wonderful note that he really appreciates.
Oh,
that was like the nicest
was so
thing.
Nice.
I forgot to give him a shout out. And I don't have my phone on me right now to see, but you know who you are.
Yeah, you warmed our hearts with
I
that.
I feel
that
like
so
you
sweet.
Have chickens. You're a trucker with bees. I feel like at home you've got chickens. So I hope you have some really awesome ones. Last thing I'm going to say, Kara, what besides JoJo and Bielefelder, what's your favorite chicken name we've ever had?
Chicken name?
Yeah. What's your favorite chicken name?
Oh,
Chick Jagger doesn't count.
Oh, Chick Jagger doesn't count? You're taking away all the good ones. I don't know.
I like Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse is good.
When she was a chick, she had these like long eyelash, look like whatever, mascara?
Yeah, like the cat mascara that Amy Winehouse had.
So we always call her Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, that was a good one. I can't think of any chicken name right now. I'm like blanking on every chicken name we've ever had.
What are our chicken names right now? We got Tyrese Maxey. We got Lala. We've got
JoJo. We got Jules. She's such a bitch. I've never had a chicken peck me like this chicken.
We call her Jules because she's like so pretty and she's just like, I'm Jules.
Yeah, I'm Jules. I'm perfect. And she's just like mean. She's just become this mean thing.
Rogue.
Softy.
Shout out Thom from Everwild Farms. He watched our chickens one week when we were on vacation. And he was like, can we call this one Rogue?
Who else we got? Amy. Blue.
Blue. She's blue. Red. She's red.
Yeah, we're all creative there. Oh, Olive, because she lays olive eggs.
We at one point, we're like, we're not going to name our chickens anymore because it's just, we're too connected with them. And then we went, you know what? We're fine with being too connected. We should all name every one of our animals.
Well, and the thing about like farming and all this kind of stuff is you're connected to the life cycle. Like as human beings in society, we've like moved so far away from that. And it can be heartbreaking, but it can also be so fulfilling.
On that note, Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for listening.
We love you.
Holler.